This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
The time has come, ladies and gentlemen.
InvestFest, that's right.
That's right. InvestFest 2023 is here.
August 25th, 26th, and 27th in Atlanta, Georgia. We are taking it to a new level. Bigger than ever. This year, we're going to do 20,000 people in Atlanta, Georgia.
I want you to do yourself a favor. Head over to InvestFest.com right now.
We will have activations from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 3 days, musical performances, billionaires. Everything is going to be a completely life-changing experience. Vendor Marketplace, Food Truck Village, you know how we do.
Don't wait, don't hesitate. Head over now.
But you guys are bigger than what you intended to be. I'm not saying you say the biggest ever with confidence. I love it. The bravado of this culture. But you really mean something to people.
Yeah.
Like people go, you know, I've been around a long time. People go decades and don't mean nothing to nobody. Y'all, like, you've transcended space and time where it took, you know, it's like what they say when Jane, what they did, they're going to make a paper what they did to Cold Crush. You know what I mean?
Live on that.
You're an example of it. Right.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL. This is going to be an interesting conversation. So we're back in Atlanta. It's a full circle.
Starting the right way.
Full circle moment. So
yes.
Was that the first time we started doing interviews in Atlanta? That
it was the first series of interviews, yeah.
Of Atlanta interviews? Yep. So yep. That was episode 40. That was about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was in...
the Gold Room.
That was in the Gold Room. That was in a, I guess the best way to describe it, like a community room?
Mm-hmm.
Inside of an apartment complex?
In a building, yeah. That was a community
Mikey room. Mikey was drunk. Big shout out to Mikey.
That part is true.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
We had to edit some things out, but we got it done.
So so he lived in the apartment building.
Wow.
So that's why we were using that, because that's where he lived. And this is where he has a couple houses now, but this is one.
Mention Mike.
This is one of his houses now.
You know, time out, Mikey, baby. Look at this. We went from a community room.
That's a fact.
To a house with many rooms, but only one is furnished.
Yeah.
Don't forget that part.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Beautiful, though. That's what time
was. So you was at the beginning stages.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to see our trajectory, and we got to see your trajectory as well. So you was there at the beginning stages for us. You've got to witness our growth, and we've got to witness your growth, your family, everything. So it's been a very beneficial relationship on many different levels as far as the business side, but just, you know, the personal relationship.
Brotherhood.
You know, exactly. That's important. So before we start, wanted to say thank you for everything that you've contributed to us on a business side and
like
on
this, KB.
Personal side.
Like
as well.
How we start. And in the personal side, and I said this off camera, I want to say it on camera, we've interviewed a lot of people throughout the past 4 years. We've had relationships with a lot of people throughout the last 4 years. Not many people call us to ask us how we're doing on a personal level, but you do. I mean, I'll get a random call on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
T, how you doing? How's the family doing? How you feeling? How's the health? All right, I love y'all.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen, and that makes you a very special person.
Thank
and it should happen more. It's something that I'm looking at, like, I need to do that more because it's something that we should be doing for each other. So thank you for that. That brotherly love, that camaraderie is not taken lightly.
So I appreciate you. That.
Yeah. So that. Kenny Burns, the lifestyle specialist. We still going with that?
For life.
Lifestyle specialist for life. Yeah. That is a fact. So, but a lot has changed since the last time we spoke.
Yeah.
New business ventures,
mm-hmm.
new opportunities. You got a new show. Different things have happened since 3 years ago. So,
which you guys inspired, by the way, too.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate that, man.
Appreciate it. So,
in movies now.
Yeah, man. God is amazing.
Got a lot
so
going on.
Felt like this is a perfect time.
Yeah.
To have a follow up convo.
Yeah. So 200 episodes later.
Yes.
The dream is real.
Well, you was also on the 100th episode. So the 100th episode, we had like an...
Oh, that was when we were on stage.
No. That was... it was virtual. You came, and then Dame Dash came like right after you came on.
It was
six different people. We had it on a virtual. You remember that?
I don't.
Yeah. We had four people come on. We had some champagne. We popped it for our 100th episode.
Oh, nice.
So we had some special people that helped us get there, be part of it.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys connected with Dane, too. That was some legendary talk.
Well,
that's a fact.
Thank you.
And that's continued. That relationship has...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We always tell that story, like how you connected that and then how Dave from UM... connected us with you.
Yeah.
And I mean,
that's how life works.
That's how it is. We have a relationship with everybody still.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I want to get into it. The first thing, obviously, you got the product placement.
This guy's good.
Learn from the best.
This guy's good.
So we spoke about Uncle Nearest.
Yes.
The first interview, we spoke about Uncle Nearest.
Yes.
You told the story about the former slave who was named Nearest. What's his last name?
Nearest Green.
Nearest Green. Who was the actual
Nathan Nearest Green,
distiller behind the Jack Daniel's brand.
Yes, he was the first African-American distiller on record, and he was the first distiller for Jack Daniel's.
And he's the one that taught Jack Daniel's family, like he taught them how to do it.
Yes, he taught Jack Daniel's how to make whiskey. Since that interview, master distiller, but since that interview, it's not only the fastest growing independently owned American whiskey in U.S. history. We have, I think, seven expressions now. The Nearest Green Distillery in Shelbyville is home of the longest bar in the world. It's at Humble Baron, a venue inside of Nearest Grain Distillery. And it's grown leaps and bounds. We actually outsold Deleon this year. You like that? You like that?
I've heard of that brand.
Yeah.
Speaking of brands.
I learned from the best. I learned from Puff. Puff, I'm giving you credit. You taught me how to be a killer.
Inspiration. That's inspiration. Oh, there are some other brands that are up here.
Yes,
one that we're very familiar with, LS Liqueur. Shout out to the Haitian Massive.
Yeah,
shout out
to our people.
How did you get connected with them? Because we, you know, they sent us the liqueur. And I think that might have been the first time we actually sample something like wow on camera, and it was incredible, and we loved their story and we loved the brand. At what point did you get connected with them?
So we have a $50 million fund at Uncle Nearest where we take BIPOC brands and help them realize their dreams. If they have great product, good packaging, whatever, we try to get involved and help them. Well, this came along at a time when we had picked several and we really didn't have room for them on the business side of that function. And so Fawn called me one day and was like, yo, I tried this Haitian Cremas inspired cream liqueur and I'm lactose intolerant and it did nothing to me. And I was like, what is it, low on lactose? And she was like, yeah, it's like, I don't feel anything. You should try it because I'm lactose intolerant too. So I was like, send it to me. So when I saw the bottle, I was like, this bottle is crazy. It looked like some ancient African less like thingy. And I tasted it and I was like, this is delicious. I was like, how do we get involved? She said, well, they need investment. If you want to go in, I'll go in with you personally. So it was beginning of the pandemic. I bought 10% of the company. She bought 20% of the company. And we went head over heels. And we redesigned the packaging. Big shout out to Miriams and Stevens. They have built probably the best cream in the business. And we're on fire. We just had a $12 million valuation 18 months later. And
that's incredible.
It's moving. Yeah. Cream is the new champagne.
Cream rules everything around me.
It's the dream is real indeed.
So, I want to talk about, before we go through the line, let's talk about just the vision and what's your involvement as far as expanding your portfolio of liquor? Because you were involved with Uncle Nearest. Now I see three other bottles.
Yeah, well, I'm actually an investor in Uncle Nearest. I'm not just involved. I don't like the way you put that.
Okay.
Language is important.
Yeah, it's very important. Ownership is key.
This is true.
You're an investor.
Yeah. I went from 75 cents a share to $25 a share.
That's different.
Yeah, it's different.
That's important.
Yeah.
So I had it.
With a couple hundred thousand, you know what I mean? So you can't really
do the knowledge.
Say shit like that.
Somebody's doing the math on that right now.
Somebody's adding up.
Yeah, right now.
Small investors.
So talk about the portfolio, your vision of growing a portfolio of spirits, because I know you were a brand ambassador for years.
Yes.
Then you became, have ownership. Now you have all of these different things. So yes. What's the thought process behind that?
Well, I mean, I was an ambassador supporting other spirits and making them a lot of money. And, you know, I started out at Rockefeller with Damon Armadale. So I was a part of the introduction to hip hop as far as ownership and liquor. You know, I don't know if you remember back then, but Jay was Belvedere in every record.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it was like, I think it was an ad or something that had like a stick figure with a New York Yankees hat on in a Belvedere ad. Like it was the weirdest like ad I ever seen. But I know that Dame and Jay at the time really wanted to, you know, own their own stuff. You know what I mean? And that was clothing, that was alcohol, that was anything they were highly contributing to in culture. And that was my first entree into it. And to be honest, if they had never gotten into their thing, I think that could have been a big deal because it was everywhere. And they were great.
Armadale
was everywhere.
What happened to Armadale?
I don't know.
They stopped rocking with it. Yeah. Armadale popping out. Only thing anymore.
You know what I'm saying?
Only thing missing is.
But it's sad because they literally were the first on the red carpets, in the films, it was everywhere.
Dame had that bottle everywhere.
Everywhere, man, he was a
Dame
genius.
Doing the money dance with Armadale.
Yeah, he was early, you know what I mean? But then Puff picked up the formula and
Ciroc.
Lights out Joe Jackson. Yeah, and I'll never forget Jackie Lee, actually, who worked for Diageo, had a whole plan with that. Like, she was the one, if I'm not mistaken, who introduced Puff to that opportunity. And you know, I'm sure he'd say probably one of the best things that ever happened to him. So when y'all interview him, you know what I mean?
Include that.
Jackie Lee. But yeah, no, so I saw how people were like, you know, basically like-minded spirits, fashion, things of that nature. They were investing in them and I wanted to do the same. You know, I was a spirit whisperer spirit for a long time, and then new phrase. It made sense to go into ownership.
When you're looking at the spirits industry, are you having a checkboard as to, like, I need to get a tequila, I need a vodka, I need a cognac, I have a liqueur? Absolutely. Is that how you're approaching this?
Absolutely. In my latest investment, great segue, you're a professional. this Bayab Gin and this Vusa Vodka are African-made spirits. And there has never been a Black-owned spirit to come out of Africa. It almost sounds outrageous.
Really?
To say that, right? So you look at Amarula, you look at all the things that are on the shelf that are African, they're not owned by a Black person. So one of the things that attracted me with this brand, you can see it. I mean, just look at the details. I mean, it's African-owned. All the botanicals come from all over Africa. So it's not a region in particular that we're stuck to. But the packaging is amazing. And then the juice competes with any juice in the categories, specific categories. You know, Rashad didn't want to hold this too long because, you know, he's a personality now, so he gets paid for what he endorses.
Sugar cane is inside of
it. Yeah, no, it's a sugar cane rum. And so yeah. For me, like, when I, to your question, I'm looking for partners that are really about that, you know, that growth of, you know, said brands, right? And with the Spearhead Group, because that's the company I invested in that owns Vusa Vodka and Bayab Gin, their blueprint is all botanicals from the continent, mm-hmm. the diaspora, which is everywhere in the world. And this next play, and I'm going to give you an exclusive. This next play, you know, the only reason tequila is called tequila is because of the region of Mexico, right? Africa, which I did not know, is the second largest grower of agave in the world. So that will be our next expression. It'll be called African agave. It's going to change the game.
Mm. So when you're investing in these companies, you have mentioned, like, you're doing this through a group, or this is like just your own personal, somebody's coming up to you and you just like it and you just like.
No, this came from our incubator program too. And Fawn had already identified a gin, if I'm not mistaken.
So
all the fallout comes to me.
So Fawn, say her name correctly, Fawn Weaver, right?
Fawn Weaver.
Yeah.
She,
my spirit animal.
So she is the person that started Uncle Nearest?
She is the founder.
She's the founder of Uncle Nearest.
Creator of Uncle Nearest Whiskey.
So then she brought you in as a part owner in Uncle Nearest.
Yes.
You develop a relationship with her.
Yes.
She's involved in all these other liquors as well?
She's only involved in this one. This Spearhead Spirits, which is Vusa Vodka and Bayab Gin, I ventured out on my own.
Just by yourself?
Yes. So, well, not by myself. I'm with the Pendulum, a Black-owned fund out of L.A. Big shout to Robbie and Dorita Robinson. They gave, you know, a bunch of money to help.
So how did that work? You connect? Can you just explain how you got involved?
Well, I mean, you know, in life, guys, you have an opportunity to bring people to the table or do it yourself. I've been a master of, you know, putting up my money in some instances and then raising money in the other, getting the same percentages and amounts. So you just got to figure out how you want to play. Sometimes you're liquid and you can let go of $1 million. Sometimes you can raise $3.5 million for 10% ownership or stake in, you know, in a business. So you just got to be intent.
The LS cream is interesting because I want to really hammer this home in case people didn't know this. So we interviewed them.
Yeah.
A couple out of Montreal.
Yeah.
And that was during COVID. So we did it on Zoom.
Miriam and Stevens.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so that was before your involvement.
Yeah.
So they approached you guys or you approached them?
Again, it came from Fawn. She introduced us.
I'm saying, how did she get involved in it?
You know? It came to us as a possible incubator opportunity, which I mentioned. And we loved it so much. It couldn't go through the incubator at that time. So we just went ahead and rocked out and invested our own personal money.
Can we go back to the agave conversation?
Absolutely.
So
that was so big. I don't even know how y'all let that.
I'm not letting it go
over your head.
No, I'm not gonna let it go.
African agave.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let it go because
black tequila. The fuck.
We're not gonna let it go.
Yeah.
So agave, it grows through other parts of the world.
Absolutely.
America and the Caribbean.
It grows in a bunch of places, yeah. I'm sure, but the amount that grows is the significance.
The amount that grows. So Africa, is there a specific region, or are we talking about all throughout the continent where it's growing, but is it being exported, imported? Sometimes, like, we have natural resources, yeah, but we don't have the infrastructure to export it.
Yes.
Or refine it.
Africa is very low. Yeah, Africa is very low in resources because we actually have power outages. mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, with distilleries and things that we use to...
What part of the continent are we in?
We're in, like, South Africa.
Okay.
But West Africa, I mean, it's regions and pockets.
Right.
I don't know the actual region that has the most, but the continent as itself, you know, in itself, is like Mexico in the right that they have the biggest crops in the world, obviously Mexico being the number one.
Yeah, I ask because, I mean, a lot of people think like, hey, I don't have the money to invest into spirits, but there's other opportunities inside of spirits.
And so absolutely.
Being a part of some establishment that is creating the refinery or figuring out how we could become a transporter, because it has to get to us.
It has to.
And so there's other opportunities inside of it.
Yeah, but the continent of Africa is the most bastardized continent in the world. Like, people mm-hmm. come there for resources all the time with no credit or lifeline even. They just take and go. Mm-hmm. But to your point, there's distribution needed in Africa. Mm-hmm. There's electricity needed. You know, that's why Akon's going ham sandwich trying to light up Africa with this new electrical grid movement he started. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's so many opportunities, and it all yields and leans to a lot of different businesses. I mean, Africa probably has the most opportunity in the world for growth as far as business is concerned. So, yeah, and I actually was talking to my, big shout out to Damola and Chris, who are the founders of Spearhead Spirits. They, you know, we were having a conversation the other day, and as we're, you know, having these one concerns with, you know, distilleries and things of that nature, and how we're adding solar panels here and we're doing this in case, it, you know, the power goes out. So I'm telling them, like, you know, make it bigger. It doesn't mm-hmm. just needs to be spirits. It might need to be distribution hubs in East, West, and South Africa, North Africa. So, you know, opportunities everywhere. But I suggest, to your point, people look into this business of spirits mm-hmm. and see the many different opportunities outside of just making an actual product. And if you want to go the product route, see what's not in the market. All of my brands tell a story. Haitian Cremas is much like Coquitos, you know what I'm saying, as far as the Spanish community is concerned. You know what I mean? That's legendary. There's not a household that you could probably go to.
Somebody making that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so when you bring something like that to life and then wait, it tastes better than Bailey's. All you got to do is, we call it love at first sip. When you taste it, it's over.
Can we have that? Can we have that bottle?
I brought you more than one, actually.
I already got, yes. That's why we're brothers. How?
Because we're love.
This is important,
brothers,
right?
Brothers in love.
That's a fact. And this is a really, we've had it before. It's a great liqueur. How cash intensive is it if somebody wants to invest in a product? Is it something that could be 5 figures or is it 6 figures? I mean, it could go.
Yeah, you have to be funded to do anything well. Right. I'm not going to act like you can just get into the business and say, oh, I have a, you know what I mean? Because if it's wine, if it's beer, and wine or beer are probably the lowest platforms and spirits that you can enter with not a whole lot of money, probably mm-hmm. under 5 figures. But then you get into distribution. If you walk into Publix or, you know, Whole Foods, wherever you shop, there's 800,000 wines. Mm-hmm. There's 800,000 beers, and I'm not saying literally, I'm saying figuratively from the standpoint, there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
So you guys, see one, how you're going to penetrate the market. Again, I would focus on markets that, you know, don't have what you're offering. And there's many things to put your spin on. That's another thing I would encourage people to do. It's like, we're going into the technical, well, they call it tequila, but the African agave business. Mm-hmm. But there's no African agave. Why do you think we're so excited? The industry's going to hear that and they're going to go nuts. Right? Mm-hmm. And you can only do that where? In Africa. Anybody can go to tequila and find a tequila brand. That was actually the first thing I ever invested. It was called Tequila Distinguido. It means distinguished in Spanish. Then we went down there, we had the gun, armor, all that, because the president's son just got killed. That was a whole experience. But, you know, it is like a thing where, like, timing plays in it for me, or has played in it for me, and I think it plays in it for other investors that want to get into it. You got to really learn about it. I was an ambassador for other brands for damn near 15 years before I owned anything.
So let's talk about the marketing, because that's probably the most important thing when it comes to liquor.
Yeah.
And I know you're a lifestyle specialist, so you have a background in making brands hot, marketing. So traditionally, the marketing plays, and correct me if I'm wrong, for the liquor brands from our community aspect of it was right. Get it hot in the nightclubs, right?
Yes.
Get it hot in the nightclubs. Everybody followed that blueprint from Diddy with the DJs, Ciroc Boys, 50 Cent now, where he does these activations for his yeah. liquor in all these clubs. Get it hot in the nightclubs because people buy bottles. But these aren't really, this doesn't seem like the type of bottle. This isn't bottle service.
It is not.
So what's your marketing plan for this?
Well, great question. You're getting you know, episode 40 to now, I want to say that.
You can see the growth.
Appreciate it.
Your intelligence level is always there. It's the personality side that's caught up with it. That's a great point. And when Fawn initially approached me, I'm like, oh, I can do a 100,000 case deal here. I can do 25,000 case there. She said, I don't want any of that. She said, this is a brand that will stand beside Jack Daniels, Johnny Walker, you know what I mean? Like all the legacy brands, and we have to treat it as such. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I knew what it meant, but I'm like, what does that mean for us right now? You're coming to me. I want to.
We can't go to Live on Sunday?
But you feel me?
Can I put sparklers in this?
Right. She used to hate when I did that.
More sparklers.
But the key, though, is like, I understood one way. Let's make this hot right now. I'm going to put you in lax and DC. I have my own and off-premise game is legendary. I got every relationship in the world. But she was like, I don't want that. I want your relationship with the culture. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to get it. She told me 80% of whiskey drinkers is white men. You know what I mean? She started really breaking down the approach, right? And she trusted me with Black America to keep people at bay. Because, you know, as soon as this came out, I was like, ah, whitey stole it. White men steal everything. You know what I mean? And I had to be like, yo, this is the story. This is what it is. You remember I was on Breakfast Club when I was doing all these interviews with her initially, and then it was my job to handle, you know, Black culture. Like, no, this is bigger than anything you can imagine. Now, mind you, she's a Black woman in the height of Me Too. She's in the height of Black women finally getting their due access, grant, all that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she knew she had an agenda. So to your point, none of this was built on the facade that is the club. Now, mind you, we know a million brands that didn't make it in the club. The club was good for the moments. Like, Puff benefited, you know, Jay benefited with Ace of Spades, 50 initially when he had the other brands. This was before the Branson and what was the thing called he had? FN. Like, you know what I'm saying? So they were rocking.
Michael's waiting for
that. Yeah, Mike's like, I used to drink the shit.
I know it.
I used to love the cucumber.
I know them all.
So, and even the other brands that wasn't part of our culture that benefited from it, like
Grey Goose. I was like, Grey Goose. Yeah.
What's the other? Well, Cristal, but then
yeah, we'll put them on their head eventually.
What Jamie Foxx had the song?
Hypnotic. You said Grey Goose.
The shot. What was that? Tequila that everybody was drinking at one time.
Patron. Yeah, facts.
Patron.
But great. I'm glad you brought that up because I don't think people understand that the lifestyle and landscape has changed. There's no mega clubs no more. Mm-mm. You're not going to a club with 57 booths no more. Like all that's dead. Everybody, they want cocktails. You know what I mean? And that was the brilliance of Uncle Nearest. It was door to door. Every on and off premise, you know what I'm saying, place that existed that believed in legacy, believed in heritage, believed in tradition, things that people don't adhere to in the marketing space. Mm-hmm. They weren't like, Puff is the GOAT at putting, like, I don't know, they just came out with the Honeydew. What's the latest one? Right? But he is running the flavor, bro. Like, this is not a diss.
New flavor every month.
No, but he gets it.
Yeah.
I was there when pineapple went crazy, but then apple came and knocked pineapple out the way, and then mango came.
Coconut,
then
watermelon, yeah.
So the point I'm trying to make is, like, it's a new day. The lifestyle landscape is changing. People, they want experiences. They want to have more things that they can connect to because a lot of people, everybody can't get bottle service. Everybody can't get the sections. And now the sections are so disgusting with the hookahs, 24 dudes, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Three girls and 27 tentacles, you know what I'm saying? And four bottles.
27.
That doesn't even add up.
Bad ratio.
Girls have like hookah burn marks, you know what I'm saying? It's out of control.
It's a bad ratio.
Your point, though, I think people need to get into, like, if you're really into this, you need to get into the, if you're not following me, you should be, right?
At Kenny Burns.
But I do this thing called Feel Good Friday, and every Feel Good Friday, I'm bringing on a mixologist to give you an experience. It's all about the experience, and that's what culture is.
So it's
music changing too.
It's more of a high-end luxury.
It's not only higher luxury, it's taste level. Culture has lost its taste level, and pun intended, but you get what I'm saying? But it's lost its taste level. Like, the thing about you I heard earlier, I was just telling him offline, like, I love how you spoke up about people being on time. I'm paying you for a service. You know what I mean? Yeah. The expectations are so low because we continue to accept mediocrity. No, I don't need you. D-Nice, he doesn't announce acts anymore. He just sells out the Apollo and then tell you who's going to perform. That's a taste level.
Yeah.
CQ Live is a taste. Like, it's, I'm going to hear great music. Oh, my God. D-Nice, Kenny Burns, Clark Kent, the nucleus of this is going. I know, with them alone.
We're going to have a good time.
You're going to have a great time. The best time you ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, what you guys are doing is bringing that taste level back, too, because I told you, episode 40. I don't know if I'm a... I speak prophecy, or I'm a forecaster. I was telling y'all about how important the culture piece is going to be. I told you how I love the information and how it's actual information that people could use.
Yeah.
Not only use, but hear and digest. But the culture piece, that's why I'll be on y'all about the first. You know what I'm saying?
You don't like the first?
I called you about the first.
You ain't like the first?
What was your issue about the first?
I called you about the first. You did. But we spoke about it.
No,
it was.
First of all, it's Madison Square Garden. So yes. To you and your hometown,
you.
Fulfilling dreams.
Appreciate that.
But y'all don't wear furs.
Well, here's why. There's a couple of things.
But y'all don't wear furs. No, it's not a bad thing.
It's a couple of things, though, right?
Do you wear furs? Legitimately.
Not regularly. We don't.
Okay, we're not going to go find a picture right now.
Of me in a fur?
Except that day.
It's a big day.
First of all, Madison.
But think about when we.
Would you feel what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, but here's the thing, right? We're paying homage to a moment in time, right? So like when we had that phone call, like, yo, we should do this. We're going back and forth with each other, like, yo, let's pay homage to that Hit Me Now era. We want it to feel like that. But when people think about the Garden, they think the Ali Frazier fight. They remember the Frank Lucas scene when he had the fur on.
It's culture.
Who is this guy? He's arrived. We don't know who.
But y'all have transcended what you thought you created.
But.
No. Listen to what
I'm
saying.
Keep going.
This is not a call and response. Yeah. This is Big Bro saying y'all have transcended what you thought you were creating.
This is not a call and response.
Yeah, this is not. You can say what you like. I'm gonna shut you off. I'm gonna tune you out. But you guys are bigger than what you intended to be. I'm not saying you say the biggest ever with confidence. I love it. The bravado of this culture. But you really mean something to people.
Yeah.
Like, people go, I've been around a long time. People go decades and don't mean nothing to nobody. Y'all, like, you've transcended space and time where it took, you know, it's like what they say when Jane, what they did, they're going to make a pay for what they did to Cold Crush. You know what I mean?
Live on that.
You're an example of it.
Right.
So you the history homage is amazing. But now that he's claim to be a fashion god.
Icon.
You, no, icon. I never said god.
No. But with your intent.
Language is important.
It's very. I just want you to know I see you. And I hear you when you. But you are intent.
Intentional.
Intentionally.
Intentional daily with that statement. Right? So yeah, as you grow and you wear.
Keep going.
And you do the fur thing more and you wear furs makes sense. The shock and awe, I don't see y'all as shock and awe. I just see y'all as contributors to culture. And we can redefine that because it needs to be redefined.
Cultural
contributors.
Curators.
You're past curation.
Yeah.
You're culture. And that's, see, people bastardize the word. Culture is tradition. Culture is heritage. Everything you do is what these motherfuckers' parents were supposed to do. What their brothers and siblings and educators are supposed to do. That's what y'all do. That's the difference. Mm. And I was sitting over there I helped you create this. I was really, when he did that and y'all started talking about holding culture response, that's all I've ever tried to do. People could take whatever I say, but I also say that Puff inspired the shit out of me. I would not be here without him. To your point, when y'all were talking about people that are here that you have to award for the blueprint and participation. Now, we're not going to let you jump off the bridge, but that's where we take over. That's where y'all take over.
Mm.
You take over by accountability. Not I'm going to outdo somebody in this comp. This shock and all shit is disgusting. It's disgusting. But y'all are showing up right, and it's valid.
Appreciate that.
I encourage you.
Appreciate it,
brother. Wise words from a decent man.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you. And there is a picture of me on the mink, by the way.
Shot.
You know that was
you're gonna figure out a way. It could be you at 6 years old. He's gonna figure out a way.
I think they had no idea. Speaking of cultural contributors.
Can I just say, before you do that, I like the word traditional. Because what we're doing is paying homage, but we're carrying on tradition of what we saw.
You have to carry on. You have to carry on tradition while fixing the mishaps that
because we watch tradition and we watch how it's being fumbled.
Like you commented on I put Rich Porter in my story.
Glad you pay attention to my comment.
I put Rich Porter in my story, and it's the legendary picture when he's in Hawaii with the pineapple and he had two presidential Rolexes on one on each arm.
Yeah.
And I made a comment, and I'm like, Rich Porter, 1987. And you hit me, and you was like, I forgot what it was saying, but it was like, what y'all doing is more beneficial, obviously. Like,
bro,
it should be glamour. Like, and I get it, and I understand that, and you're completely right, because for so long, you know, we've glamorized.
We've taught to, though. We were taught to.
Right. And it's like, you know, and that's not, in the grand scheme of things, that's not something that should be glamorized, but it is part of our culture.
No.
So if we could take the best elements of that, but then so that's why even like, okay, this velour suit, this is inspired by an 80s drug dealer, but we're not selling drugs.
Yeah.
We're teaching financial literacy.
No, listen, have you ever sold drugs?
No.
Have you ever sold drugs?
No.
Okay, so that's the reason. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's authenticity. You have your own swag.
But it doesn't mean that those people are not the people you aspire to be.
No, listen. Listen.
I get what you're saying.
Tony Lewis Sr. just came home doing 34 years. Do you know Tony Lewis?
From D.C., right?
So he's caught up in the Rayford Edmonds. He was Rayford Edmonds' co-defendant.
Okay.
So that's Wayne Perry.
That's who Alpo told on, right?
That's the D.C. niggas they was referring to in the movie Paid in Full that I gave Dame Dash, that I am a product of Tony Lewis, right? Yeah. And I had the pleasure of sitting with him and Tony Lewis Jr.,
yeah,
2 weeks ago, because we were going to work on his story in the form of a movie. And I was literally telling him, I was like, your son and I are your wildest dreams. Like, your son did not go down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also got locked up one time and chose a different path for my life. So this is what you would have done, I believe, had you been given the chance. If you had been judged on your first offense and not a part of the biggest drug conspiracy in the history of whatever, whatever, then, you know, on helicopters, going to Conoco, that was some big things, right? But if you had the chance, you would have done what I did. You would have flipped it, because to your point and why you posted the thing of Rich Porter or the reason y'all wore me, whatever it's been, is because that was the first luxury look we ever had. That was the first. That was our neighborhoods. That's the first thing you saw. Somebody ride through with the Saab or the Pathfinder, whatever it was that caught your eye. And the point I think that, you know, I want y'all to own is that y'all don't have to do nothing outside of what y'all have done. This is enough. This platform is bigger than anything that could ever be contributed.
Yeah.
It really is, because the information, you know, is so overlooked, especially to this generation when they have access to everything.
That's a fact.
It's not even like they're going to, you know what I mean? So for them to tune into y'all, to tune into your cohorts, I mean.
You know what was under the mink?
That's
what?
Crazy.
What was on at MSG?
That's crazy.
A green custom suit.
Yeah, I saw it.
And what did I do? I called you.
I love you. But it's not about our love and respect for each other. It's about y'all.
That's what I'm saying.
No, it's about
earners. What's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right. We're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shari, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the home buying blueprint, volume 1 and volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger. Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
Tradition. No, it's tradition. I'm talking about
love
the tradition.
You. It's fine, but
I said you're KB. I saw you in this color, and I had to. I just want to let you know.
I know.
I want to carry the tradition,
and I appreciate that.
Speaking of cultural contributors, let's talk about.
This is gonna be one of the best ever.
Let's talk about your podcast.
Yeah.
So, the media situation during the pandemic, everybody was trying to find their niche, right? And people were consuming content at an all-time high. Yeah. So you were doing Instagram lives And he was getting like everybody, like Shaq, Jamie Foxx. Like he was getting a bunch of A-list celebrities.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I just said.
No, but like
everybody. Literally, I just said that.
Don't ever say that to everyone.
Everybody. So I'm just about to prove a point. That's why.
Great relationship.
So
great. I mean, 3 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
No, that's a fact.
For like a year and a half.
Yeah, we was there. We stopped there.
Very consistent on that. So then from there, pandemic is over. And correct me if I'm wrong, but then you transitioned to the radio.
Yeah, because we were going through the racially intense political sphere.
George Floyd.
And the vaccine. And George Floyd. All the things. And I was concerned for the community that it wasn't getting enough of the information because everybody was sitting down. You know what I mean? Of course they were watching it, but they're all watching memes and shit that doesn't mean anything. So, you know,
yeah.
People dying and all types. I felt responsible for my community and I wanted to go amplify. Plus,
on the radio.
Puffett went out there and said he was controlling the black vote. So I had
We're going to talk about that. And thank you for having me as a weekly contributor on the radio show, too.
For 2 years.
That was cool. No, I appreciate it.
No, but before you blew up, though, like, I was.
It was ascending. It was on the ascension.
I just said before you blew up.
The ascension. The ascension.
But it was not before you blew up?
I think that was.
You really just, like, he gives way
more credit. I just think that
he
was.
He gives way more credit than you.
I think that was one of
the. It's cool. Whatever you wanted to be, Rashad.
Every Monday.
But like I said, I'm greatly appreciative of it. Yeah. And then that.
This guy. Is, we'll take a shot.
Yo, KB is one of the, I think like you really know him. That's why you can laugh, because you really know him.
No, but I and you know, you know.
He that's why I'm laughing.
This guy is amazing.
But then that ran its course, and then you started your own show, right? So there's a timeline here.
Yeah.
So all right, let's talk about this journey of about the last 3 years in the media space for you, from Instagram to radio to having your own show now.
Yeah, so and partly why I said y'all inspired that earlier is because I felt like after meeting y'all. I mean, obviously, I've been in the business forever, but like meeting y'all, it was something specific that was your purpose and that you were on. And I've always been in my purpose-driven lane, mm-hmm. but my passion and my purpose weren't all the way aligned, right? Because I think we all live life and we want to amass a certain amount of success, right? That is the blueprint. And it's not taught to define it for yourself. It's just taught, this is the way to do it. This is the way such and such did it. You could do it like this, put your twist on it and continue to climb. But during the pandemic, when I was forced to sit down, I had also realized I had some trauma that I hadn't never addressed in my 50 years of life. Obviously, I wasn't quite 50 then. I'm 50 now. But I think my 47th year of life. And I was like, damn, I had trauma.
Like, what kind of trauma?
Childhood trauma. Mm. I mean, getting keys offered to me at 12 years old, 14, like stupid shit. Like, or seeing people high, laid out, die. Like, that's not normal behavior. And it's not something that should be accepted as normal.
But how did that affect, like... Did it affect you as a husband? Did it affect how you was parenting your children? Like, how did you notice that something wasn't right?
I love that question. You're a professional. I feel like I had already identified the things that were most meaningful, or, you know, what mattered most or what were most meaningful to me. The gag was, though, I had blinders on the whole time when it came to my professional career and the way that I dealt with people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so when the pandemic came, the blinders came off because I had to sit down and like reassess and look at everything. And when that happened, I'm like, oh shit, I didn't know I felt this way. You know, it's days you're by, you know, you're with your family or you're trying to figure out how to exist. And I went immediately into 3 o'clock every day, the Kenny Burns show, come see me frame your favorite celebrity. So in that process, I felt more of the same. It wasn't different. It's like, I've been talking to y'all my whole career. This is not fun. Like, it was fun for the viewer, mm-hmm. but for me, I wasn't being fulfilled because I was going through this evolution. You know what I mean? And when I got to the end of the year and a half that I did it straight and started going to radio, it became evident that I was meant to do something different. I had a voice and I was building this community. I already, you know, already had love, respect, followers, admiration from peers, so forth and so on. But this was more intentional. And so I stopped interviewing celebrities and I invited, this is when the four-way started on the Instagram.
Yeah.
And I just started having the people that were coming join the conversation. And we're talking about the vaccine and we're talking about Donald Dump. I don't refer to him as Donald Trump.
You caught that?
Yeah. So they were more meaningful conversations. And I felt like that could impact people way more. And this is one of the things I told y'all in the beginning, that the information will carry you through. Your relationships are good. You know what I mean? Obviously, now you've interviewed everybody you probably ever want to interview on a grand scale. There are a few more billionaires, maybe Elon Musk. You know what I mean? But there's not much more you could do for our community as far as putting them in perspective. But I felt the same. I'm like, who else I'm interviewing? I'm gonna interview every celebrity in the world. I've interviewed the presidents of the United States. I've interviewed the vice president. I mean, what else am I gonna do? And it became evident that the community needed me more than ever. So I realized that my purpose was based on the success of my community, even more during the pandemic. Always was that in that direction. But yeah.
Listening to you speak and from what you're saying, it sounds like the pandemic, although it was tragic for some, became therapeutic for you.
Enlightening.
From a professional and from a personal standpoint.
Yeah.
Right. So talk about that part of it, because what you're wearing today, you got, and we'll get back to the podcast space. I want to talk about that. But what you're wearing today is something that you built with the family inside of the space, right?
Yeah. And that's who I've always been. I've been married 24 years this year. You know what I'm saying? Come on, Nick.
Congratulations.
And I have two great humans that, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like, my son now is just turned 19. My oldest is 22. And at the time of the pandemic, you know, I'm also looking at, this is the first thing in my life I've ever experienced like that. But this is going to be their new normal, right? Being teenagers and consuming the things and going through the things they're going through, like, it's not going to be a stretch for them. You know what I mean? But I'm literally going through all types of reorganizing in my mind and how I want to show up and who I want to be to what, and most importantly to them. So, you know, we created this clothing brand. Obviously, 2017 is when we created it. But during the pandemic, we had two incredible releases, sold out of everything, like the first 30 minutes type thing. And it's been going great, man. So I'm super proud of this collection is out right now. So make sure y'all
whose idea was
check
it?
Check out the Miracle
was
Baby
it
collection.
Your son's idea, or was it your idea?
It was my youngest son's idea.
To have the brand?
To have the brand.
Whose idea was it to work together?
It was kind of our, because he was 15 when he first wanted
to. So you did it as like, I gotta walk you through it.
I'm gonna teach you how to fish. Obviously, I was the second black designer ever in Saks Fifth Avenue with Ryan Kenny. I've had major success.
I didn't know that your partner was Ryan Glover.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Ryan
that.
Ryan Kenny.
Yeah.
And Derek Dudley, who's my manager now. But yeah, you know, we had some tremendous success with that. We changed hip hop. I mean, everybody was wearing white tees and baggy shorts before us, even Dame.
Button ups.
Even Dame. When you were going through the pandemic from a personal and professional standpoint, when you were thinking about the content you were creating, were you thinking about your sons? Were they in your mind? Like,
man,
what's the impact?
Always, every decision.
Right? Like, what impact am I going to have with the information I'm providing? How is it impacting them?
Every decision, man. That's part of the reason I left the clubs. I mean, you know, that was at least $500,000 in cash a year. You know what I mean? But it also doesn't serve me musically, but also that I don't want them to see that that's an actual lifestyle. You know what I mean? To be, I was in a club for seven years. Mm-hmm. I stopped in 2013. I mean, I host events, but they're events. They're tentpole events, Essence, you know, Strength of a Woman, all the bigger thing, you know, bigger black tentpole events. But, you know, I wanted them to see that, you know, it's okay to be mature and grow. You know, our community is hard on you when you turn a certain age. I think for the first time ever, and this is another exclusive, I think for the first time ever, I'm experiencing ageism.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because I've never said my age in the way that I celebrated my 50th year of life. But I'm fucking 50. I never thought I'd see 25.
Mm-hmm.
So my 50 was important to me, and we did it at Versace Mansion with the both of you. Missed, but I don't know how that happened.
No,
it's cool. I mean, it's really...
You did it at Paisley.
No, but it's fine.
You did it.
It's my 50th.
We were in London.
It doesn't matter. You could have got there.
From
you spent $1.3 billion on InvestFest. You could have got a jet.
The event was
on that joint. Y'all got money? I don't want to hear that. But anyway, I in my 50th year of life, I decided I don't want to be looked. I'm not young. I'm not trying to compete with you know what I'm saying, the youngins. I want to be a vehicle for the youngins, a vessel, or an inspiration. I don't want, you know what I mean? So look at me as such.
Yeah.
And it was more about separating myself from the things that seem younger, you know. And I'm not doing a little baby nothing. I'm not doing a little Dirk nothing. You know what I mean? I like my CQ crew. You know what I mean? I like
The people who've grown with you.
I like R&B. You know, I live in the 90s.
So where are you facing the? Is it in booking event? How is this age?
You want to know where I face the ages? And are y'all ready for this?
Yeah, we're ready.
Last year, and I'm not saying this is actual factual that they're treating me as such because it's totally my demographic.
Yeah.
But I hosted Essence last year. The biggest attendance in Essence history, 79,000 people at the Superdome, alongside Tiffany Haddish, murdered it, and was basically told, did an incredible job that weekend. And for me, that's like the ultimate as a host.
Mm-hmm.
I can go be funny, I can hype up the crowd, I can do all the things. And it's a huge bag once a year, you know what I mean? So long story short, I was told basically I had to end up not getting it this year. And it's because of me hosting Strength of a Woman. And so there's a whole lot of sponsor things that went on in that. But I also found out after all of the communication was weird that they wanted to go younger. That's the reason they have Megan Thee Stallion headlining, so forth and so on. Like, you notice they didn't. I don't want to talk about their choices.
Megan Thee Stallion's headlining?
She's headlining. Which is cool. Last year they did City Girls. Last year they had Nicki Minaj on Friday night. And I get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's, it's a gradual
they're
thing.
They're skewing younger.
But they still had New Edition Sunday and Janet Saturday. So it was.
Last year was amazingly put together. But the person who put together last year is not in charge of the lineup. So there's in culture, you got to always realize something with a beautiful, impactful and spiritual weekend like Essence Festival. That is the main demographic is a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
It's no debating. It's a certain age.
Like 40.
It's 40 50. And up, right? And the 40-year-olds and up are now just getting hold of Essence because the 50s and 60s had it for the last however many years. So the 40-year-olds are like, we can finally put, because imagine the 40s to 50-year-old is the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? It's Mariah Carey. It's Sean Puffy Combs. It's Jay-Z. It's Missy. Like, you know what I mean? So I think there's a certain thing they're trying to do, which I respect. And I'm big shout out to the four people that got the hosting opportunity. But I thought that was a little, because I murdered it last year.
So Strength of a Woman. Shout out to Strength of a Woman.
The big shout out to Shauna Ayers, Mary J. Blige.
We're going
to
be there for that.
They the new thing.
Yeah, we'll be
there. You said that it was like one or the other?
You know, there's soft drink wars out here in these streets, y'all. I don't want to get too political about it because I'm down with everybody. I want you to see me as a host. Not that you own or possess me, that I can't do one without the... Because Lauryn Hill is doing Strength of a Woman first, and then she's doing Essence third. She's doing Roots Picnic before she's doing Essence. So treat me like you treat Lauryn. That's all I ask.
Can we talk about Freaknik?
I'm in the new documentary. It's coming out very soon on Hulu.
So,
go ahead and then I follow.
Let's talk about Freaknik.
I caught the tail end of that. In 1997, I came to Atlanta. My brother lived in SWAT.
How old are you, for the record?
I'm 41.
39.
All right.
So we kind of missed it.
I just heard the stories. I never
always heard the stories. I actually had the T-shirt. I had the T-shirt, and I remember wearing it to school. And they were like, "You can't wear this,"
because it said "Freak."
It had the year on it and everything. But I believe Hulu was involved. Mass Appeal's involved. How are you involved in this historical piece of work?
Well, from my understanding, it is about a period of Freaknik, which was 94, and I'm sure there's a whole lot of storytelling about how it originated, et cetera, which it originated with the DC Metro Club. So some guys from DC, a crew from DC actually started Freaknik at the AU Center. But 1994 in specific, Freaknik was when I brought the Big Mac promo to Craig Mack to the warehouse, which was Funk Clinic Fridays. And then we had the whole weekend and there was some gunplay with Puff and them. You know what I mean? So it was a whole legendary story on how he was about to fuck my money up for Freaknik. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And Slim Pickens, big shout out to Slim Pickens. I hope they get the footage from Slim because he has all of it on tape. He actually gave me a piece in my documentary when he was like, Rodney King, and they were fighting by the barricades. That was Puff and Wolf and
rest
all
peace.
Of us. So yeah, rest in peace. But anyway, so that's a whole legendary moment. So that's why I'm in it, because I got one of the most legendary
You're just telling that story.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about Freaknik in general because I came for the first one in 1992. So I covered 92 to 94.
So what exactly was Freaknik?
Freaknik was, you know, where you could be an adult, you know what I'm saying?
It's like a parade, like outside?
No, it's a black college experience like no other, where you could literally be an adult. You got to imagine, you're leaving home.
It's black, so it was for colleges, kids?
Historically black colleges, this is the biggest cluster here. Morehouse, Spelman, Morris right. Brown, Clark. Morris Brown was fully functional on a high level, had students, the whole thing there. That's where I went to school. But yeah, so it was the thing. It was like the come to Atlanta, Freaknik.
Like a big homecoming.
It was a big homecoming, but it was in the spring. It was actually around now.
In a park.
It started in a park, and then it ended up on the freeway with barbecue pits and all types of just nasty shit.
On the freeway.
Oh yeah.
They shut down the freeway?
Oh, they shut. They couldn't do it. Atlanta wasn't ready for the traffic. Like they're still not ready for traffic. Yeah, but.
And it's documented.
It's documented. And people are, you know, I ain't gonna lie to you, this is the biggest non-paid promo I've ever seen in the world for a show.
Everybody's talking about it. Yeah. People are terrified. There's actually a group of, I believe, professional women now.
Saw that.
Lawyers, doctors, different, you know.
You saw Yolanda Adams. Did you see the picture? Yolanda Adams.
In Freaknik?
With the butt. She wasn't ass out. Respect, all respect, dude. But like she was at Freaknik participating. No, people were outside, bro. Imagine no, like, camcorders, but no cell phone.
Yeah.
So you could be the person you really wanted to be.
It's like
and then you're drinking, and you're around people that are from all over the South, historically black colleges. I think it's from New York on down, around in Houston. Everybody came and gathered.
Yeah.
It was the biggest, I mean, you could walk outside. It wasn't about clubs. Of course, we had parties. But you could be outside and have the time of your life.
So this is the, when I think of it, I think of Idina Howard.
Freak in the morning, freak.
That became the theme song.
But when I think of Little Kim, when she was like, "You want a cheap chick? You better go on a freak."
That's later.
Yeah.
By the time that came out,
that was like 98.
That's 97, yeah. 98, which was over by then.
It was over.
It was over.
They still were trying.
They were trying to do it.
So how they had like a 3-year run?
No, Freaknik went from like the 80s. I forgot the first year.
No,
they put it in the BMF series when they had like How Meech and them.
Yeah, they went down.
And that kind of changed some things as well.
Yeah.
So. We got to talk about a few other things before we wrap. You got a film coming out.
I've been working on this project called Fight Night with Will Packer. It's been about 7-8 years. First had a deal with Universal. Now we're doing it with Peacock. Fight Night is the story about the biggest heist in Georgia history. The backdrop was the Ali Corey fight in 1970, fresh off the draft dodging situation that Muhammad Ali was in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight was here in Atlanta. And there was a guy, numbers runner, hustler named Chicken Man. And then the other character was this detective, first black detective, HD, and how they kind of came together in a way. But Chicken Man was blamed for this robbery that happened the night of the fight. After the fight, all the people got lured to this house, got robbed, stripped down. It was like a wild story.
They robbed people.
The Uptown Saturday Night was loosely based on the
Cosby and Poitier.
Cosby and Poitier. So this is the real story about the real people. And
like celebrities stuff?
What?
They got robbed, like celebrities?
Yeah, all types of celebrities, dignitary. Like, it was crazy. And Kevin Hart starring in it.
So I saw that Kevin starring in it. What's your role in it? Are you part of the...
Co-executive producer.
Co-executive?
Yeah.
So we got film credits now.
Yeah, man. You know, we got stories we want to tell. That's the next phase for me.
I was going to ask that, because I feel like, for us, I mean, we've watched your career, we've interviewed you, we've had a relationship now, but there's things on the bucket list, I guess, or the... whiteboard,
yeah,
that you haven't done yet.
Yeah,
and so that's one of them. Are there some others?
Yeah, I want to tell the Tony Lewis story. For those that don't know, Tony Lewis Sr. was a part of the Rayford Edmonds. He was a co-defendant for Rayford Edmonds, one of the biggest drug dealers from my city where I'm from, Washington, D.C. The first to be taken on Army helicopters to Quantico and locked up. And he did 34 years, man, and he was, you know, super stand-up dude. And he actually has another story outside of just Rayford Edmonds. He was down with Cornell, another big superhero from my era. And obviously, he was in the mix of the Alpo, Rich Porter, AZ story, too. So looking forward to helping him tell his story.
What's the status of TKBS? I know you went from radio to podcasting. which is a new space for you podcast. And what's that been like?
Thank you for the inspiration.
Yeah, what how's that going for you?
It's been incredible. I started monetizing the second month, you know. I'm a different beast when it comes to that, though, because I think a lot of people love the experiential side of what they could do with me. So unlike most people starting out in podcasts, I immediately jumped into benefiting from it. So it's growing steadily, you know. And we have partners like McDonald's, American Express, Discover, Ford.
Not easy,
you know. And again, the experiential things are a blessing too, because although I don't have like EYL numbers yet, it's been very lucrative.
Philanthropy, that's something that's important to you.
Yeah, man, I'm working with Amazon now, man. We actually just gave a $40,000 scholarship to STEM students from Clayton County, DeKalb County, and Atlanta Public School System. And that's all I want to do. I want to make a difference in the, you know, in the wealth gap. I want to make a difference in the opportunity gaps that are in our, you know, our communities. Amazon is allowing me to, I do public policy consulting for them, which has everything to do with community and the betterment of it. So when it comes to politicians and things of that nature, I'm advising on where we need to show up and how we need to show up.
Before we leave, I want to ask a question about Atlanta. So you're from D.C., but you called Atlanta home. You've been here for
since 92.
Yeah. So recently, there's been a lot of issues in Atlanta. The untimely passing of Takeoff to the RICO case with Young Thug, a variety of different things. And I even heard 21 Savage say, like, the city is just not the same anymore. Like, it's like a dark cloud over it. The unpassing timely death of AG's brother. Yeah, a variety of different things that have happened, especially in the nightlife and in the hip-hop and hip-hop culture. What is the vibe like in Atlanta right now from your perspectives? And is it a cloud over the city?
Atlanta's still the blackest city in America. I'm sure 19 Keys might think Oakland is. but I think it's the epicenter of opportunity. You know what I mean? When we used to look at New York and L.A. for being opportunity in multiple genres of business or multiple sectors of business, I think this is the place now that tech is heavily here, obviously, with music, film, et cetera, et cetera. I think the youth is in a pivot like no other, though. And I'm glad you asked that question, because even one of my clients is AMP, Amazon. So I'm telling them, as we identify, they have this thing called Fresh Finds. And I feel like Atlanta culture, musically, obviously comes, the fruit of that is, I'm sorry, the tree of that that bears the fruit is Outkast, Goody Mob. And honestly, civil rights, to them, it was messaging. Everything Outkast stood for, Goody Mob stood for, had messaging in all of the initial thing. One, they wanted to represent their city properly. Two, they wanted to keep the core of culture involved in their music. That has gotten lost 10 times over, right? The beauty of this generation, though, is melodically and sonically, it's another melodic. It's incredible, but they're not saying anything.
It's a fact.
They're not saying anything.
Well, Little Baby is.
No, he's separate. He's cut from the old
club. Okay, yeah, that's a fact.
And I'm sorry, I should have said that, but people who know me know, because I talk about this.
Yeah.
I'm always asked this question. But I think the majority.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Right? Led with the misogyny, destruction, you know. Drug culture, all of them. And now that, and it's ironic you brought it up, because my manager, Derek Dudley, is doing a documentary on the DA's office. Uh-oh. And they said since Thug and the YSL and the YFN crews have been locked up, the murders have gone down 35%. You know what
that.
I'm saying? So I think when you look at life, and you look at where we are, Atlanta's in a reconstruction musically, and who we are as a city. You know what I mean? And that's why, like, I'm even encouraging my partners like Amazon or whomever I'm in business with to have a lens that leans towards music, is you have the opportunity to fix a broken music system here in Atlanta. You have the opportunity to project and amplify people that get messaging, because hip hop has always been messaging for us. Yeah. There's always been clues. There's always been assignments. There's always been things that have been the soundtrack to our lifestyle. And this music is not a soundtrack to our lifestyle. For the first time And I think music history, we don't use this to grow from, learn from, and amplify
but
from.
The sad thing about it is it is a soundtrack to a lot of
that's what I was
kids'
say.
Life.
No, not the majority.
But perspective is key.
Yeah, perspective right?
because
is key.
You're looking at this now, right? And you're saying, yeah, the murder rate has gone down 35% from a parent and an adult and somebody who's been in this game for a long time. You've matured to the point of like, all right, I like that.
Yeah.
You can look at your son. He may be screaming out, free the guys.
Yeah, not right? really. But,
right, but no, I'm not saying hypothetically he could be, yeah. right? His age group might be saying
that. No, for
that,
sure.
Not realizing the overall impact that something like that could have had.
No, for sure.
Right? So the perspective there is different. So, I mean.
But the majority.
Okay.
And we always got to deal in the majority. The majority of black culture doesn't want death and destruction. The majority.
No, yeah, for sure. They don't even understand it.
Yeah, or even to his point, like when you talk about glorifying, like we grew up, fuck the police was like, they're beating the shit out of us.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Fight the power was like, yo, we have the power. They come to, so my thing is now, I think there's a, you know, that's why I love what 19 Keys and what y'all do as far as the speaking of life, like how you can own, how you can mature your assets, how you can, you know, the knowledge is here, the information is here. All you got to do is tap in.
You're part of the generation, like the first generation that we've seen mature and still we've had respect for, right? Because like hip hop, this is his 50th year, right? But we don't view the pioneers the same way we do as the next generation. I guess the guys from the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Like they were able to grow old. They were able to go through life. They were able to mature. And so we can see that,
yeah.
right? Like this generation is now going to look at y'all and us as like, oh wait, that's what we can be. Just like how Freaknik it was a thing, 100%. Right? There was a generation of like, these kids are out of control.
Yeah, but not out of control, killing and
women
acting like men.
That's different.
This is my thing, and this is for y'all, 19 Keys, the part of your crew I love and respect.
Part of your crew I love.
You know, y'all.
Is a part of our crew that you don't.
David Shands, I love. I don't know all their names, so I'm not gonna. But the point is, there's real progress being made in our community with platforms like this. You got to blow the rest of the shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have to start like separating. It's not, everybody's not going to be here for the entire journey, bro. And it's on us, to your point. I got a whole project I'm working on. I'm not going to say the name because somebody's going to try to bite it, but I'm part of the problem. My generation is part of the acceptance of the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of us from the standpoint of individually, but as a cult, we accepted a lot. Why do you think half of these motherfuckers are out of control? Most leaders are out of control, right? Mm-hmm. You got to respect, you don't have to do anything, but you respect hopefully what they brought to culture, but a lot of them are out of control. Most other half is dead,
mm-hmm.
right? So you look at like, where do we want to be? Where do we want to be? We see how easily they take the money from our athletes, our actors. The guy that just was, what's the Ant-Man guy's name? I've never seen somebody go away so fast and people run from that man. Jonathan Majors?
Creed.
And they ain't even got the video. They don't even have a thing. They just ended this. And I don't know what he did. And he might be totally wrong. But I'm just saying, they're quick to get rid of us all.
That's a fact.
Y'all are building something they can't take away from because it's not on the traditional platforms. It's not done in the traditional way. That's why I'm still, you know what I'm saying, in it. You can't take nothing from me that you ain't gave me.
That's a true.
So I just encourage y'all to continue that energy.
Can't take anything.
And you impressed me earlier, Shadi. you're speaking out. And it's not about speaking out against.
Yeah.
You got to check. If we're not checking each other.
It's a family conversation.
I like how you did that. It was gentle.
You might talk to your brother. It's an issue. It's not like you want violence or you don't want to embarrass them.
Yes.
But it's just, this isn't correct. I need to have an understanding.
Anytime y'all hear me say someone's name, I want them to hear what I'm saying so that can in fact happen. I don't want motherfuckers, listen, and y'all know this by now, y'all been in it long enough. You see how people move when certain people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You see how people move when certain people say shit, be like, oh, how you get to say that? And nobody says nothing. Well, goddamn it, there's some truth to it then. You gotta remember that.
That's a
thing. And how you show up is how you show up is how you will be received. If you come in timid and not knowing who you are, what you are, they gonna treat you that way. These people, and y'all are dealing with them on a large level now. These people are kind now. they're, you know, but a lot of them are kind individuals. I'm not saying all of them, but mm-hmm. they did what they did to get where they at. But y'all not doing, y'all, that's not y'all blueprint. Y'all playbook is different. This is a new playbook for a new generation.
Yep.
That's a fact.
You're right.
That's a fact, because there was no gatekeeper that we had to appease to get to where we are. So it's a different level of like freedom, because we didn't have to ask for permission or try to sneak somebody to get to this point.
And you know the importance of relationships.
Yeah, no cosign.
30-somethings, they kind of get it. 20-somethings don't get it. You know better, but everybody else, think about the next generation.
Yeah, it's important.
You can't even have a full conversation without hyphening words.
Taking letters out, putting X's.
A voice note. That's all you might get.
But that's not cool.
No, it's fact. It's desensitizing. The whole social media thing is an interesting experiment that we won't actually know the full effects on until probably 30 years from now.
Yeah, and it's definitely taken away from brain function activity. I was watching Lucy last night. Y'all ever seen Lucy?
Lucy,
the drug, the guy in her body, she got 100% usage of her brain.
No, that's like Limitless.
Y'all got to check out Lucy. I forgot the girl's name. But I think that, like, because we don't use enough of our brain, because we don't even tap into it. Like, again, we trying to find knowledge of self, my generation. We trying to find out where we come from. We trying all these things in our 20s we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Who trying to find a heritage? Who trying to even know about tradition? Yeah. Y'all can set the table for that.
That's what you got to do. We create the narrative, shape the narrative, and that changes how people will view things. That's why the agave tequila is important, because I'm thinking to myself, like, yo, we're going to Africa. How do we work together to make sure we highlight that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got an African agave coming, 19 Q. Yeah. And everybody thinks tequila only come from. Yeah.
They missed that part of the conversation.
Straight from the motherland.
Watch the episode.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, brother. I feel like it's always important to keep the race running. You pass the baton. Everybody's got different parts, different roles. There's different generations. But it's important that we have these conversations on an ongoing basis, because there's a lot that we can learn from your generation. There's a lot that you guys can learn from our generation. There's a lot that we can learn from younger generation.
Yeah.
And all of this comes into play, from the media to, you know, the lifestyle, branding, to the political side, to everything. It's like we all have to work together, because that's an ecosystem.
Yeah.
Like, ecosystem isn't just one thing.
Yeah.
It takes everything to create an actual ecosystem.
Yes.
So if we want to have a healthy ecosystem, then we have to have a better line of communication.
You shouldn't yell at your elders on Instagram ever again.
Please.
Apologize about that. I don't think that I actually yelled, but
y'all still going at this.
I'm not letting up.
I just couldn't let the conversation go.
Apologize about that for sure.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Kanye West. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. How do you feel about that today? I had to do this before we get off the thing.
How do I feel about Ye?
No, come on now. The specific thing you yelled at me about.
Well, you gotta understand, Ye.
No, how do you feel about Ye today?
The same.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 2001. This has been Rashad Bilal, Troy Millings, and your lifestyle specialist, Kenny Burns. The dream is free.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.